Hello?
Hello.
Hello, John. How are you?
Well, Mr. President, how are you this morning?
Pretty good, John.
Looks like we had a big event down at Cape Canaveral a while ago.
Well, we're watching it. We hope it works out all right. We got a long ways to go, and these boys are kind of running rings around us, but we don't get hot until we get real behind, and we start looking at somebody to make a scapegoat out of.
Yeah.
Dick Russell called me when Sputnik 1 went up and said, "My God, you got to go to Washington. I cannot go up there and hold these hearings, but somebody's got to," and we just played hell. And we were behind, and we started getting caught up, and then Congress started raising questions, but we got everything we asked for in the manned space flight, and we think that we got a fair chance to keep up with these people by 70.
We should keep up.
Oh, this research is the most important thing we can do.
Can't make some people see it, but
John, 75% of the things that we will be making 25 years from now, we have never heard of now. That's how fast this world changes. And in the year 2000, we're going to have 80% of our people, over 300 million, living in the cities of the country. And this damn world's shifting and changing so fast, and we're changing. I got 38% of these young Negro boys that are out on the streets. They got no school to go to and no job. And by God, I just scared to death what's going to happen June and July. You know, when you're an old hard-pecked boy, you were 17, 18, I ran off to California. Didn't think my daddy had any sense from Texas when I was a boy 16. But you take an old hard-pecked boy that sits around and got no school and got no job and got no work and got no discipline, and his daddy's probably on relief and his mama's probably taking morphine.
Yeah.
Well, he ain't got nothing hurt if he gets shot. I mean, he's better off dead than he is where he is. That's right. And they're 38% of those unemployed, and they just fill these cities. What you've seen in Selma is nothing. We're handling things reasonably well there, and what we've in our country. But you just wait till this thing, the rats get going in Harlem and Chicago. Dick Daly called me the other morning.
You're going to have it worse up there?
Oh, 10 times as bad.
Yeah. Mr. President, the reason I called you, I don't want to take a lot of your time. Mr. Macy, chairman of the Civil Service Commission, said you wanted me to call you about Judge Cherry, who is chairman of the Subversive Control Board, and who is up for reappointment. I think we all wrote your letter, the Arkansas delegation. We don't have many federal appointments, many representatives up here anywhere in the delegation, so if you could do it, we'd like to have him reappointed. I didn't know if there was anything special you wanted to ask.
Not a bit. I don't know what's wrong with Macy. What happened was they recommended Cherry, and I told them that I had a commitment I wanted to put in, a fellow that had been with me all through the years, and I didn't know him, and I sent it back. They came back to me from across the street. They do things civil service-wise, and said, "Well, this fellow had been in the board," and I said, "Well, goddammit, I'm not obligated to keep everybody that's been here. I haven't had any appointments, and when these vacancies occur, I've got to bring some of my people in if I run the government." They came back then and said, "Well, this is a great friend of one or two members, and I don't think they specified, of the Arkansas delegation." And I said, "Not a damn one of them have talked to me about it. I don't know anything about him." And so that's the way I left it. But I didn't, I don't know Cherry. I don't, I do have an ex-judge that has wanted to come here. And I've kind of told him he was president of the bar and in his state. And I was trying to kind of find something for him. So I just told them that I was committed on it. Now, I don't know Cherry. I don't even know what else is involved. I don't know what members have talked to him about it. I've got that in about three instances. I got a little Canadian commission. I'm trying, the truth of business is, I don't know whether you've ever had it or not, but after you in politics 35 years, a few people finance your campaigns, a few of them make your speeches, a few of them get on the sound trucks, and a few of them go to the conventions and lead the delegations in Arkansas and in Georgia and other places. And you, when it's over with, well, just like I've got to Well, the governor of Missouri, old John Dalton, has been a lawyer, a friend of mine all along. Harry Byrd wouldn't let the Virginia delegation change. Even if I died, he made the governor instruct for me in 60 until I died, just like y'all did. But I had to, the other day, I had to take care of one of his boys that wanted to be an ambassador. Yeah. I had a little problem over at Bill's committee. They didn't like, they thought he was, might raise a little fuss about it. Wasn't quite foreign service, didn't have enough stripes on his britches, but he's going to a small place and didn't make any difference. But I have to find places, some of our people. That's what I was doing. I don't know anything about Cherry. If it's important, anything, it's important to you, it's important to me, and I'll take another look at it. If it's not...
Let me say it this way, Mr. President, I don't want to overemphasize the thing. Cherry and I have always been friendly, but this matter slipped up on everybody. He didn't say anything to anybody about it, and his brother-in-law came to me about 3 days before his, 4 days before his time expired. Well, he hadn't said anything to any of us about it.
Well, I just tell him the president's committed, and if you, here's what I...
I called up Macy immediately, and then I got called the delegation, told him we ought to get you a letter, which we did.
Yeah.
And he is a good man, and he got off bad luck. He got beat down there before, but you know, for a second term, and he got nobody blaming himself for that. But
I would like to appoint another man, John, and will, and well, plan to, but I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, and the last man I want to hurt is you.
A few days, I'm going to have to come down and see you sometime.
All right.
By the way, just hold it for the president.
I can't do.
Can't you hold it for the
president?
Of
course, I can do anything you want me to do and do.
Just hold it for the president until we examine it further. Now, in the meantime, Senator Rivercoff and I requested to see you about a matter that is pretty important to our states. I don't know whether you can do anything about it or not. I don't know whether the letters reach you, but we'd like to talk to you sometime about that. If our figures are correct, the department's wrong. If their figures are right, we're wrong. That's just
what I told them they ought to do, John, was this. I don't know a thing about it one way or the other, but I told the boy to talk to me. I said, you tell McClellan Rivercoff. They can walk right in on me in my bedroom anytime they want to. I know, but they're my friend. I don't know a damn thing about it. I'd rather make an appointment with Katzenbach and let him sit down and reason it out with them. And if they can't get together, then come to see me.
Well, we did that once, but maybe we ought to.
I would do it. I made him see some folks last night.
I tell you what, Katzenbach wanting to see me about some other thing.
He would, and he respects you.
He wants to see me, so I'll just call him and call him and see if we can't just have Katzenbach come to my office and go over this thing with him again.
Confidentially.
And if we can't do anything, we'll talk to you.
Confidentially. I called Katzenbach in before I appointed him.
Yeah.
And I told him that I did not want any fights with you. I want him to work with you, that you had been my lawyer when I was in the Senate, and he was my lawyer now, and get up there and take his crime bills to you, and what you wanted to handle, let you handle. What you didn't, let you tell him who to handle them, and be damn sure that he worked with you, that I drafted you to go on judiciary. You didn't want to do it.
That's
and
right.
I made you do it several years ago to help old Pat McCarran because he had to have some help. And he said he would do it. So I imagine he's going to work with you pretty close.
When he comes up, let me and Abe talk to him about this matter, and then we'll check with you again.
All right. You let me know what you want to do, and you check in the other thing, and it'll be held until I hear from you.
All right. Thank you.
Fighting.